Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin, Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Hey Amar Aleph at the second line. It says the Gemara Sabi the Zuna, the Sabi the elderly people who lived in the Zunya Layosla Pirkei de Rav Chisda did not come to Rav Chisda's drasha. Amalei le Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Chisda said to Rav Hamnuna, Zil Tzneihim, go, they should hide. The way Rashi explains, it meant he told them they should be put into Cheirim. The show of disrespect that they didn't come to Shir, they should be put into Cheirim. Others say that for not coming to a Shir, one doesn't deserve to be put into Cheirim. And therefore they say, explain that what it means, the Marit explains, that Zilzaninu means teach them how to act B'tznius. Teach them what is the proper way to act. That you when a Adam Choshev person like Rav Chisda gives a shir, it's only appropriate to attend. Azal Amalhu, so he went and he asked them, "My Tama Layosu Rabbanu Perka." So he went to them and he asked them, "Why didn't you come to the shir?" Amalei Amai Nesa, why should we come to this shir? Deminana Milsup. We've asked Rav Chisda questions, and he hasn't answered them. Amalahu, so Rav Hamnuna said, did you ever ask me a question that I didn't answer? And since I am Rav Chisda's Talmud, so if I was always able to answer your question, then the halacha is that then certainly you should also respect and come to the shir. And from here we see that even though they gave such an explanation, the Mefarshim explained that they did the wrong thing for not coming to the shir. And there are many reasons given. One is because it shows a lack of derech eretz. If a great rabbi is giving a shir, or anybody is actually giving a shir, and you don't attend, it shows a lack of derech eretz. That's one pshat that I saw. And another pshat that I saw from the Ben Yoyada is if people will see that Rabbonim don't respect each other, and then when one Rav gives a shir, the other Rav doesn't attend, they're going to come to start to believe that they don't have to attend either. And maybe you can make an argument that they have not much to learn at that shir, but certainly everybody does have to have something to learn. I saw that Rav Shmuel Rosengarten was a Rosh Yeshiva in the Belzer Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and one of his Talmidim was once a Talmud of Rav Moshe, of Igros Moshe. And he was speaking to that Talmud, and he asked the Talmud, what did you learn from Rav Moshe that you could learn to behave that way? So he said that he was once, while he was learning by Rav Moshe, it was before Ben Zmanim, it was before vacation, and he went over to Rav Moshe and he asked Rav Moshe, as I go now home for Ben Zmanim, what does the Rosh Yeshiva recommend I take and behave to? So Rav Moshe told him that certainly where you live, there's a shul, there's a Beis HaKnesses, and during the break between Mincha Ma'ariv every day, there's probably a shir in Mishnayis, in Ein Yaakov, things that every balabos, everybody could understand. The Rav gives a shir in everything, something in the subject that everybody could understand. And you, as a Talmud Chacham, are obviously going to say, I could be learning Gemara, I could be learning Shulchan Aruch at that time, and not want to participate in the shir. So Rav Moshe told this Talmud, you should know, by not attending that shir, you could be causing pikuach nefesh. You could be putting the Rav, who's giving the shir, into pikuach nefesh. Because what's going to happen, if the Balabatim who are attending the shul say that if you don't attend the shir. That means the Rav is probably not such a big Talmid Chacham, and that's why you don't want to spend time listening to a shir. Also, what's going to happen is that people are going to say, if he doesn't attend the shir, then nobody else has to attend the shir. And the Rav will have such a terrible, bad feeling that this is what's happening, it could cause even pikuach nefesh. And not only it could cause pikuach nefesh, it could cause that the shir will fall apart. It says, how could you take it on your responsibility to do something so serious? So even though the shir may not be to your level, just like everybody else sits down to learn the shir, you should sit in that shir as well, and sit and participate in the shir. It also, he said, it goes without saying, that there's a special significance to Torah that's learned b'tzibur. Talmud Torah that's learned b'tzibur has a very, very special significance. And by you not learning with that shir, by taking the attitude, I'm going to learn by myself, you're undoing the concept of Torah B'tzibur, which of course is something nobody should take upon themselves to do. Says the Gemara, Baiminei. So they asked Rav Chanina the following question. Eved shesasa rabba b'beim mahu. We've been speaking in our shiurim that if a owner wounds the Eved, the halacha is that the Eved goes out free if he wounds him in one of the Chaf Dalid Rosh Avarim. So now the question was, if he crushed his testicles, what is it going to be the halacha? Do we say, Kivim Shebekali Dami, since they're noticeable, it's considered a Mum Shebekali, and that's the reason to go out? Eloi, or since it's covered in the bag, it's not considered a Mum Shebekali. Says the Gemara, Eloi Havi B'yadei. He wasn't able to answer that question. Amalei Mas Shimcha. So the Zikni is Nuzunya, Set Rav Nuna, what is your name? Amalei, so he responded, my name is Hamnuna. Amalei Lav Hamnuna. Your name is not should be Hamnuna El Karnuna. So Rashi explains that Karnuna stems from Yoshve Kronis. People who weren't serious about learning would normally sit in the corner. And they said to him, you're not to be considered a Talmud Chacham, you ought to be considered like the Yoshve Kronis. And the way the Ritva explains what Rashi means to say is you present yourself as a Talmud Chacham, but really you're the opposite of a Talmud Chacham. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that Nuna is the name of a fish, and Hamnuna means that the fish is warm. When the fish is served warm, it's particularly delicious. But he said, Loi Hamnuna Shemrecha, you should be considered like a warm fish, something which is delectable. You should be considered Karnuna, like a cold fish, and therefore you're not really very special, says the Gemara. So now, Osla Kamed Rav Chisda. Rav Hamnuna comes to Rav Chisda, and he repeats the question that he was asked. Amalei, so Rav Chisda said to him, Masnisa Bar Menach, the question that you were asked really is a braisa. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masech Nagoyim teaches us, Esra V'Arba Rosh Evarim Sheba Adam, the 24 limbs that we speak about in our shiurim by a person, kulam ein matam shemichya. One is one of the types of simonim of tuma is a michya. But a michya is only matame if the kohen could see the entire michya at once. However, when the michya is on the top of one of these limbs and it goes down on the side, so you can't see it all at one time, and therefore it's not considered a michya that's metama. Ve'elahem, and the Mishnah identifies which are the Rashi Avarim that don't have tumas michya. Rashi Etzbayos Yadayim Reglayim, the fingertips of the hands and the feet. Rashi Etznayim, the tip of the ear. Rashi Etchaytim, the tip of the nose. Rashi Agvia, the tip of the aver. Rashi Dadim Shabi'isha, the tips of the breast of a woman. Yudaima Af Be'ish, even the breasts of a man. The Tanilah, and the Brisa says, Bekula, and all of these Roshei Avarim that were just identified in that Mishnah, Eved Yosef ben Lecheres. If they were harmed by the owner, then the Eved goes out free. And Rabbi Yoimer continues the Brisa Afasiris, that if a owner crushed the Beitzim of a Eved, he goes out free. Ben Azaimer Af Haloshin. If the owner cut off from the tongue of an Eved, that too is considered Rashi Mavarim. So the Rishonim point out that Rav Chisda actually never answered this question. And the reason Rav Chisda never answered this question, because as we're going to see, it's a machlokes in the Braisa. He said, that's why I can't say a explanation. Why are we speaking about a Michya? So as we said, the Ramban explains that by all other Negoyim, there's a shear. If the Nega is the size of a gris, it doesn't make a difference if it can't be seen at one time or not. It gives off Tumah. But by the Michya, as we said, there's a special Halacha that it gives off Tumah only if it could be seen by the Kohen at one time. And if it can't be seen by the Kohen at one time, it doesn't give off Tumah. So the Matna asks a question. The Torah Akdosh says, "Ube'artzachem loisasu." The Torah says that one is not a crush, be misaris anyone in Eretz Yisrael. And if one does so, he's chayiv malchus. So ask the Matna that we have a rule throughout Shas that ain't a loike mishalim. That for one aveira, you don't get malchus and also have to pay. So ask the Sefer Makna, if that's the case, if somebody was Misaris and Eved, so he'll get Malchus. If he gets Malchus, he shouldn't also be punished by having to free the Eved. So the Hamakna answers that we're speaking about that not that he directly was Misaris him, not that he directly did that, because indeed, then the halacha would be that he's not the chayiv malchus, and the eved wouldn't get free. He did the sirus in an indirect fashion. He made him sit in very cold or very hot water. So he's not chayiv malchus for sirus, but he did cause the eved to become hurt. And because he caused the eved to get hurt, that's why he has to. That's why the eved goes free. Amamar. So the Gemara goes into this price. Rabbi Oim Afasiris. The Rabbi said that for Siris, it never goes out free. Ask the Gemara Siris to my exactly what happened here. Ilema Siris the Gid, that he caused the Gid to be cut off. Ask the Gemara Haina Gvia. There was already mentioned Gvia. Elalav isn't a mean, but Siris debates him. And isn't this clearly an indication that the Siris debates him is a reason for ever to go out? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Oimer. Rabbi said, Af HaSiris. Then, as I said, Af HaLoshen. So it seems that Rabbi's opinion is that you go out only for Siris, but not for the tongue. And the question the Gemara asks, Rabbi Loshen Loi, does Rabbi hold that if the owner cut off some of the tongue of the Eved doesn't go out free? For a mini, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Mishayim Maza. If somebody is being sprinkling from the Eifa Pora on an individual who's Tamei Meis, the Nitza Hazor Al Piv, and the water hit his mouth, Rabbi Omer Hiza, it's considered as if he had a proper Hazor and he will be Tahor, because the Hazor has to be on a Mokum Goli. The Hazor, in order to be considered a kosher Hazor, it has to be in a place that's visible in the person's body. Rebbe holds that hitting the mouth is considered that it wasn't such a place. V'cham ma'imrim, loy hiza, my love, aren't we speaking about the tongue? So we see clearly that according to Rebbe, the tongue is considered a makam agula. So if the tongue is considered an open place, why would Rebbe hold over here that you're not, the eved wouldn't go out free? So Zumar loy, it's not speaking about the tongue, it's speaking al sfosov, it's speaking about the lips. The lips are certainly a makam agula. So Gemara, asfasov, to tell me that the water of the Eifachatis hit the tongue that hit the lips that he's tar, pshita is obvious. Answers the Gemara. Sometimes a person closes his mouth very tight. And since he closes his mouth very tight, maybe it's not considered an open place. Kamash Malon. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Alishoina, that the Braisa speaks about Hazor. And the Braisa speaks about the Mechatas on the tongue of the person. So we see that it's not talking about the lips, it's talking about the tip, the tongue. Voitanya, the Braisa always there differentiates that we know that a Bechor Behema, the firstborn male animal, has Kedushas Bechor, and it has to be treated in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it would have to be brought as a carbon, and when there is no Beis HaMikdash, the halach is that that animal, we have to wait to become a Balmum, and the Kohen can eat it without the Kedusha of a carbon. And the Braisa identifies different Mumim that are considered a Mum and a Bechor. Shenitl Rav Aloshin, that of most is the of the tongue is missing. Rabbi Omer, we don't need to have most of the tongue missing. Rav Hamadaba B'Lashonai, the part of the tongue that moves when one speaks, the part of the tongue that's not stationary, is considered, if that's missing, that's considered a mum. So we see clearly that the Lashon is considered a mum shebegoli. If that's the case, why did Rebbe say that by Sirus, why did Rebbe say that if the owner removed most of the tongue of the Eved, the Eved does not go out free? Ella says the Gemara, Rebbe, I'm a Sirus. Rebbe says, the way to understand the Braisa we began with is differently. Rebbe says that Sirus, if an owner was Masaris, his Eved, the Eved will go free. And certainly, Rebbe's opinion is that a Lashon is considered a Mum Shebegoli, and if the owner cut off the Lashon, the Eved will go out free. Benazai Omer, Benazai says, Lashon indeed is considered a Mum of a Sirus Loi. He's going to say that Sirus is not. Ask the Gemara. So it turns out that Ben Azai is more machmer, stricter than Rebbe. Rebbe said both the Lashon, the tongue, and Sirus. And Ben Azai only says the Lashon. So what is the Af? How does it say, Ben Azai, the Braisa says Af? Answer the Gemara, what he meant was a Kamaisa. The Tanakhama mentioned only the 24 Rosh Yavarim. So comes Ben Azai and adds the tongue. But he only adds the tongue. Not Sirus, and Rebbe includes both. Yehochi says the Gemara, the way Brises are normally stated, the Brises says goes from Chumra to Kula, from the most strict opinion to the lenient opinion. So Ben Azai Ben Azai's opinion is stricter than Rebbe's opinion, because Ben Azai only includes the tongue, and Rebbe includes both the tongue and the Sirus. So shouldn't have Ben Azai's opinion been mentioned first? Ask the Gemara, Yehochi Nigdemod Ben Azai Bereisha. Answers the Gemara, Tana Shamala Rebbe Vikava. The Braises were taught and learned as they were taught in the yeshiva. So says the Gemara, first he heard Rebbe's opinion. Once he heard Rebbe's opinion, that Rebbe holds that both the tongue and Sirus are considered a mum, he put it into the Braisa. Then Shamal Ben Azai. Then he heard Ben Azai's opinion, Vatani, and he taught it. Mishnah Lazaz Bekoima, even though we should have had Ben Azai's opinion stated before Rebbe's opinion in that order, but because it was originally taught Rebbe's opinion, and then Ben Azai's opinion, it was left that way. And the way the Mefarshim typically explained this is that the Mishnayis were taught in those days by Peh. Since the Mishnayis were taught by Peh, they were taught by heart, people, once they learn something and they memorize it, it becomes difficult to learn it in a different way. So once they had the Braisa mentioning Rebbe's opinion first, they left Rebbe's opinion there, because if they're going to change the order of the Braisa, it would be confusing for the people who memorize the Braisa. Continues the Gemara. Amaula Hakamoidim, Rebbe and Ben Azai both agree that we just learned that they both are of the opinion that a mum in the Lashon, in the tongue, is a mum shebegali. But Lashon linya tuma, that if something tame touch the tongue of a person, the person becomes tame. The gali who eats l'sheretz, it's considered revealed as far as a sheretz, and therefore if a sheretz touch the tongue of a person, that individual will become tame. My tama, why is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'cholash yigabah zov, amrachmana. Anything that the zov touches becomes tame. V'hai nami bar negihu. This is something that is certainly can be touched, and therefore, since it's considered something that it's touched, it's certainly considered a way that the person will become tame. Linya tefila. Now the halacha is regarding somebody goes to the mikveh. The halacha is that when somebody goes to the mikveh, all of his body has to immerse in the mikveh, but not the inside of the body. What about the tongue? Does the water of the mikveh have to touch the tongue? So says the Gemara, Ula holds linyan tefillah, as far as tefillah is concerned, ketamadami. It's considered as something inside the body. My tama, why? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says, V'rochatz basar b'mayim, amrachmana, ma basar b'avroi. So when the Torah speaks about going to the mikveh, the Torah speaks about something that's open. Afkom avroi, and the tongue is not open. V'nechleku, says the Gemara, where do we have the machloikis, Rebbe ben Azai, elinyan hazor? That we learned that a person who's a tamei meis becomes tahor by sprinkling on him the mechatis, the mixture of mayim chayim and efer paraduma. Rebbe medam leila tuma. Rebbe compares it to regarding tuma, and just like regarding tuma, if tuma touches the tongue, the person becomes tamei. So too will Rebbe hold if the mechatis touched the person, it will be considered that the mechatis was sprinkled on him. For Rebbe medam leila tefila, and Rebbe compares it to tefila, and just like we learned that the tefila doesn't apply to the tongue, so too will the mechatis not apply to the tongue. And says the Gemara, and both of them have their opinion, the Tavai Bahai Kral Kamifki. Their opinions are based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, V'hiza atar ala tamei. Says Rebbe Sover, V'hiza tamei ala tamei b'yom ha'shlishi b'yom ha'shvi v'chitoi. The Torah says the word v'chitoi, that means the sprinkling, ala tamei. So it compares it to tumah. And anything that's considered an area for tumah, which we said the tongue is, will be considered an area for the mechatus, that it should be considered a valid sprinkling of the. It should be considered a valid sprinkling of the chatus. The Torah connects the azor and the tefillah. So the Torah says the chitui has to be in a place where tefillah takes place. And since we said it, the tefillah doesn't have to take place inside, this won't be considered a proper place for the mechatis either. The Sefer Chalvus al Vavus says, the Pasuk says, Mavis v'chayim b'yad aloshin. It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. He says that what the Pasuk means to say is that the tongue is a very interesting part of our body. He says that it is partially like the insides of our body and partially like the outside of our body. It's somewhere in between. And explains the Shem Shmuel, that's exactly the machloikis of Rebbe and Ben Azai and our Gemara. How do we view the tongue? Do we consider it primarily like the panemius, or do we consider it primarily like the chitzonius? Rabbanan Nami asked the Gemara, but why don't the Rabbanan compare the tefillah, the hazah? Why the Rabbanan, instead of comparing the hazah to tefillah, why don't we compare it to the tefillah, to tumah? Says the Gemara, tahar matar avalelef. Says it makes sense. We're talking about the sprinkling of the mechatis. The sprinkling of the mechatis is similar to the going to the mikveh, because they both accomplish that the person is tahar. So therefore, it's a better comparison to tefillah than to tumah. Ask the Gemara, the Rebbe, the Rabbanan say a very good svara. So why don't the Rabbanan agree? Why doesn't Rebbe agree that not damnei l'tefillah? Answers the Gemara, because the pasuk, if we look at the pasuk, v'chibas begadav, the pasuk that says v'chitoi avrocht b'mayim has v'chibas begadav in between, and therefore hazah and tefillah are not next to each other, and that's why we, instead of learning hazah and tefillah together, we learn hazah and tumah together. Says the Gemara, v'savar Rebbe l'inyan tefillah k'damdami. Does Rebbe hold that what's inside the mouth is considered like inside the body? Ask the Gemara. V'amar Rav Adon, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Ma'aseh b'shivcha shel beis Rebbe shetavlo. There was the shivcha in the home of Rebbe that went to the mikveh. V'alsa, and when she came out of the mikveh, v'nimtza entza ben shenah, and a bone was found between her teeth, v'tzricha Rebbe tefillah acheres, and Rebbe said she has to go to the mikveh again because it's considered a chatzitza. So we see that even though it was inside the mouth, Rebbe considered a chatzitza. Answers the Gemara, ned mi'is ma'im lo'ibinen. Yes, the halacha is that you don't have to have the water of the mikveh go into the person's body to affect tahara, but it has to be makam haroy lover by ma'im binen. It has to be a place where water can enter. And the Gemara says that this concept is taught from what Reb Zeira taught us. Could Reb Zeira? Dam Reb Zeira, kol haroy lebila ein bila ma'keves bar, ve'en shir roy lebila bila ma'keves bar. The Torah Kedoshah teaches us, this Reb Zeira teaches us, Halacha Masechta Menachos. Somebody who says he's going to bring a Karban Mincha of 61 Isorin. The Halacha is that he has to bring the Mincha, 160 Isorin in one vessel, and the 61st Isorin in a separate vessel. And the Gemara explains why. Because the Halacha is that when you have more than 60 Isorin, it doesn't get mixed properly. It can't get mixed properly. And the Torah says that you have to mix the Karban Mincha. And that, the Gemara asks, the halacha is that in Loi Bala Lasa Mincha, if one didn't mix the Mincha is still kosher. So why the fact that you have too much, that it should be able to be properly mixed, is it an issue? Answers Reb Zeira, Kol Aroy Labila, if mixing was able to be done, ein bila ma'keves bar, then you don't have to do the mixing, and it will still be a kosher Karban Mincha. Kosher ein roi labila. But if it's in a way that bila, mixing, is not doable, there, bila ma'keves bar, the lack of mixing is an issue. And therefore, since if I have 61 isorin, it can't possibly be mixed properly, therefore it's an issue. The same thing here. The water doesn't have to go into the mouth, but it has to be that the mouth could accept the water. So if the mouth is clean, so then the halacha is that the fact that the water did not enter the mouth is not an issue. But if the mouth is not clean, then it's an issue. And I saw that the Sefer HaMatan explains why is it necessary that the water that the insides should be a place where the water can and enter. So he says that the Torah is speaking about what is the derech. What is normal? It's normal that there are limbs inside our body. It's normal that when we immerse ourselves, not all the water enters our body. That's why he explains, for example, what would be the halacha if a pregnant woman goes to the mikveh? So why is the baby not a problem? The answer is, the reason the baby is not a problem, because the baby belongs there. And anything that belongs there is not considered a chatzitza. But if there is something there that is not supposed to be there, so that we can't say is the derech. If we can't say that that is the derech, then it's going to be a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, going back to the subject we began our shiur with. What is the halacha about siris bebeim? Is it considered a mum for which an eved will go out or not? Says the Gemara Ketanoi, this is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. The Pasuk says, again, going back to different mumim of a Bechor, Umach, if the Beitzim were crushed, Mach, they were crushed, or the Kossus, they were crushed till they are liquidy, the Nosuk, or they were disconnected, the Kossus, or they were cut off, Kulam, Bebeim. These are all considered mum Shebegoli Bei, animal, and they would be a mum by Bechor, that you couldn't bring that bechor as a carbon, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, bebeitz and veloy begid, are they only mumim by the beitzim and not by the gid? Ella, says the Gemara, af bebeitzim, that certainly if this happened to the gid itself, it would be considered a mum. But here we're learning that it's even a mum by the beitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov Aymer, kulam begud. Only by the gid are they considered a mum, not by the beitzim. Rabbi Yosef, memor v'kotzus, af bebeitzim, more v'kotzus are considered a mum, not only by the gid, but even by the beitzim, nosu v'koris, begid in, and begid bebeitzim loy. So Rabbi, who said earlier in our shir that siris is a mum shebegoli, for which an eved goes out l'cheris, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama ben Azai, who hold that siris is not a mum for which eved goes out, holds like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And this price also taught us another type of Rabbi Yossi's opinion that differentiates between different situations of what happened to the Beitzim. As the Mishnayis and our Perek have been discussing different ways that kinyonim, different way that transactions take place, the Mishnah goes on to discuss the way a behema gasa is nikna. And the Pnei Yeshua points out that our Mishnah speaks about animals, how one could do a kinyan on an animal, and then we're going to learn the Mishnayis how kinyan can be done on a metatlin. So why does the Mishnah mention an animal before metatlin? So he says that the order of the Mishnayis in our Perek, points out the Pnei Yeshua, is according to what is more significant. So the Perek began speaking about a Jewish man and woman, then went on to speak about an Eved Ivri, Omar Vriya, and then it speaks about an Eved Knani, and now it speaks an animal, because an animal is obviously more significant, it's a living thing, it's more significant than Metatlin. So says the Mishnah, Behema Gasa, how does one do a kinyan of Behema Gasa? Niknas b'mesira. When the owners give over the animal to the person who's buying it, if the buyer pulls the animal, that's a kinyan in a behema gasa, because you can't lift a behema gasa. So according to Rashi, the Mishnah is teaching us that the behema gasa, the only type of kinyan that works, is mesira, but not meshicha. And Tosfos explains the Rashi here is following his opinion throughout Shas, that Mesira is considered a stronger form of a kinyan than Meshicha, and therefore the Mishnah is teaching us that only Mesira works and not Meshicha. Pnei Yeshua has a different approach. He says the way to look at it is not because Mesira is better or worse than Meshicha. He says the Meshicha doesn't make sense by an animal, that's why it's spoken about. It speaks about Mesira. A daka, a behemoth daka, which is easier to move, that's such a large animal. The way the kinyan of behemoth daka is Hagbah. Says the Gemara, Divrei Ramei Rebeleza, what we just learned are the opinions of Ramei Rebeleza. Chamaimer behemoth daka, niknas b'meshicha. Even a behemoth daka is bought by Meshicha by causing the animal to walk towards you, then the halacha is you're going to make a kinyan. The Miri says that way to understand the Chachamim is that the Chachamim don't mean to say that a behemoth daka is only bought through Meshicha. He says that Meshicha, it means to say that Meshicha and Hagbah will work, but not that only Meshicha will work. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Meshicha. The Mishnah says the Gemara Darsh Rabbi Rav Bekum Chiyum, behemoth gasa niknas b'Meshicha. He explained in that city, gave a drush, and he said that behemoth gasa is bought with Meshicha. Says the Gemara, Ashchino Shmuel Talmidei the Rav, and Shmuel met the Talmidim of Rav, Amalu, and he said to them, he asked them, Miyam Rav, the behemoth gasa niknas b'Meshicha, is that exactly what Rav said, the behemoth gasa, the kings of Meshicha? But then we just learn Vanava Mesira Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah that the way behemoth gasa's kinyan is with Mesira. Rav Nami, And even Rav himself, they asked, we heard, would normally say that the way you do a kinyan of Behemah Gassah is with Masira Amah. Says the Gemara, they asked him, Hada Behemahi, the Rav retreats from that psak. Answers the Gemara, Hudam Kehai Tana. Rav was following the following Tana. The Tana in the Brisa says, V'chama Oimrim, Zubazu Niknas B'mashicha, that all animals, the way to do a kinyan, both Behemah Gassah and both Behemah Daka, is with Mashicha. And Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon says that the way to do a kinyan on all animals is Bagba. So it turns out there are four different opinions in the kinyan of animals. According to Meir and Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, a Behemah Gassah is with Masira, and a Behemah Daka is with Agba. According to the Chum of the Mishnah, a Behemah Gassah is with Masira, a Daka is with Mashicha. According to Chum and the Braisa, a Behemah Gassah and a Behemah Daka are always Mashicha. And according to Rav Shimon, a Behemah Gassah and a Behemah Daka is always with Agba. And Rav, that gave this drasha in the city of Kimchunaya, paskin like the Chum and the Braisa, that a Behemah Gassah, the Kinyan, is with Mashicha. And in fact, that is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Tzadik Aleph, Kuf Tzadik Vav, Sif Aleph, that the Behemah Gassah and Daka are b'mashicha. Maskel Rav Yosef, so asks Rav Yosef on the opinion of Rav Shimon that says that both a Behemah Gassah and a Behemah Daka are done with Hagbah. So ask the Gemara, pill, an elephant, which obviously is extremely heavy, Rav Shimon b'mayikna, how will we be able to ever do a kinyan hagbah on an elephant? Amalei Abayi. So Abayi said, what you have to do is kinyan. And the way the Rashba explains, that even though we're learning about the various types of kinyanim, Mashicha, Masira, etc., Chalipin is an entire new category of kinyan, and chalipin always works. Rav Zeira says, I can show you the chalipin. Inami, another way, the soiches mekaymai, that you rent the place on where the animal is standing, and since you own the property on which the animal is standing, it becomes a kinyan chatzur. Rav Zeira ama, meva abra kalim, you bring four pails of kalim that you own, and you put them under the legs of the animal, and by the animal standing in your keli, it's like he's considered standing in your rishos. Shmamina, says the Gemara, if that's the case, we've learned earlier in our Masechet a question. Kalif shel keich rishos meicher, if I, the buyer, bring my keli and place it in the property of the seller, is that going to be a way that a kinyan could take place? Here it says, it seems that it would be acceptable, that if I bring my four pails and the animal puts its four legs into the pail, it'll be acceptable. So we see, isn't this a raya to a shaila that we have throughout Shas? If Kalif Shalakeach work b'shus meicher, says the Gemara, we're not speaking about that the elephant is standing in the seller's rishus. If the elephant was standing in the seller's rishus, that is the shayla of kalif shalakech rishus meicher, and it's not quite certain that that would be a kinyan. Hakam ma'askinan b'simta. It's a place to the side of rishus harabim, which is not a rishus harabim, not a rishus hayochid. It's a place that everybody could be, and there, it's certainly, if the elephant is in my pails, it'd be a good kinyan. Inami, there's another way of making the kinyan. It says the Gemara b'chavila is meiris. If you spread out straw on the ground, and you cause the animal to walk on that straw, and the straw is 3 tefachim high, that's going to be considered a kalif shalakeach. That's going to be considered a valid kinyan. And the way I sort of Rishonim explained this Gemara is that why don't we have the same question of kalif shalakeach b'rishus meicher? The answer is that this straw is 3 tefachim high. Once the animal is on my straw, which is 3 tefachim high, there's no problem of kalif shalakeach b'rishus shalmeicha. Derma, when he speaks about a husband divorcing his wife, says that the husband should preferably fold a get and put the entire document in a hand. None of it should be protruding beyond the hand, because the Torah Kedosha says that v'nosim b'yadai, he should put the get into our hand. Says Rav Kivega, that when one makes a kinyan with a kinyan hagbah, the halacha is that you don't have to have whatever you're picking up should be completely in your hand. So the Ran explains, a get has to work with a new type of kinyan, kinyan chotzer or kinyan yad. And since the Torah says they have a nosan b'yadai, so it has to be, the entire get has to be in their hand. However, that's a din only in kinyan chotzer and kinyan yad, but not by kinyan agbar. By kinyan agbar, it doesn't have to be completely in your rishos. The Pesach Tshuva points out that where he lived, it was not the minig to put the entire get in the woman's hand. And he says that this minig that Ramah says that we fold the get and put it entirely in the woman's hand is only a chumrah, but it's not absolutely essential to the validity of the get. The Yelos HaShachar proves from our Gemara that you could have a kinyan yad or chatzar as long as most of the object is in your yad and your chatzar. Because what did we just learn in our Gemara? Rav Zeir says that one can acquire an elephant by having it stand on four vessels, even though part of the animal is outside of the vessels. So we see from here, it doesn't have to be completely in your chatzar. The Abaye gave another way how to make a kinyan on the elephant, and that was by renting the place where the elephant stood. Says the Rashbam, that when the buyer rents the space under the elephant, that's called a kinyan chatzar, because this chatzar that I leased is considered mine. Says the Iter, that it would not be a valid kinyan chatzar. A property that I only rented, but I don't own, is not considered enough of my chatzar that it should be considered a kinyan chatzar. Says the Iter, the reason it's going to be a valid kinyan in such a case is only going to be because of kinyan agav. Once I rented the chatzar, the area that I rent, the area that is considered a kinyan on the property, and as we're going to learn in our coming shir, kinyan agav says that once I'm doing a kinyan on the chatzar, a kinyan schiris, agav, I could also buy other things, in this case, the animal. Agamara spoke about the halacha, about something in my chatzar, but it doesn't belong to me. And what's going to be the halacha? Is it considered mine because it's in my chatzar or not? The Gemara called that Kalev Shalekeach Brishusoy Shamoichram. And this question comes up in many cities where the garbage pails, the place where the garbage is deposited, belongs to the city, but it's put on people's private property. And the question is, let's say it's Erev Pesach, and people put garbage into those pails. So if those pails don't belong to me, so even the pails don't belong to me, but the pails are on my property, will it be considered mine that I should be chayiv for having chametz on my property? So the Shas Tshuvas Petzela Chochma, Chel Gimel Simen Kuf Tes, discusses this shayla, and he says it's not considered Kalev Shalakeach Brishus Moicher. He says, when is there a question of Kalev Shalakeach Brishus Moicher, as we're learning in our shir, is it a good kinyan or is it not a good kinyan? He says it's only in a case where I did not give up the right, I, the Moicher, did not give up the right to that area. But when I give the city permission to put the garbage cans on that area, so I'm ceding my property to them. When I'm ceding my property to them, that's not an issue of Kalev Shalakeach, Rishus HaShalmeicher, and it would be perfectly acceptable.